Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of The Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's a little Kiwi collaborator broadcast today. My special guest is sound engineer and former activist, Simon Shea Desbois. Simon, welcome to the program.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay. Now, we've met up a number of times at parties and drinking and so on and so forth, and almost every single time the exact same topic comes up and it doesn't get resolved, and that is the situation that you've had dealing with SIFs and the family court and all the nonsense that's going on there. And what occurs to me is that basically you need a bit of a chance to really kind of lay it out for people, because you've given up on the system, basically trying to help you out, get your daughter back and what have you, and just basically think it's all BS. So I want to offer you the platform today to just sort of tell your story, and I can be assured, and I know for a fact, that there's many, many, many other fathers out there in New Zealand and indeed around the world with similar struggles that I think yours will replicate. So if you wouldn't mind, Simon, just tell us a little bit about who you are, what it is you do, and then we'll get into it.
Okay. Well, it's a tough thing to categorize. Sorry, Vinny, just give me a second. Stage fright. Okay, so where do I start? My daughter Anika about 6 years ago, she was born. I've always been actively involved in her life on every level, you know. Me and the mum never saw eye to eye on most things, and it was a very complicated meeting how we met. The whole thing to begin with was just one big debacle. But, had been actively involved. I wasn't, you know, for the first 6-12 months, wasn't really... You know, I wasn't her primary caregiver or anything like that, but, you know, I was seeing her 2-3 days a week. She was staying over, you know, most of those nights. And the mum just kind of decided one day that she would just move off to Hawke's Bay and just uplift her and randomly drag off with this guy who was not a particularly desirable character. Had a lot of run-ins with drugs and all that like that. And yeah, just basically for months, I just heard nothing. And so that's how the whole proceedings begun. It was just me basically saying, look, you just can't run off. And, you know, I'm in Auckland. You're meant to be in Auckland. You can't just take her. So at that point, she tried to tell me that she wasn't even my child, which was hilarious in itself, and said that I wasn't on the birth certificate. So I had to go through all the legal means of getting a proper copy of the birth certificate and then filing for my initial affidavit. Now, the initial affidavit was quite effective. We within a few weeks, the situation was resolved. Courts outlined that she must stay in Auckland and blah, blah, blah. And that's where it all began. So that was about 4.5 years ago to this day. Since then, I'd say a total of 100 or so affidavits have been filed to and from each parties. We've had many interim arrangements and things have... you know, gone one way or the other. And so, you know, I have been, in most cases, primary custodian of Anika in a lot of cases. But, you know, it's 4.5 years later. The situation is still not resolved. And it's crazy because the situation couldn't be any more black and white from a viewpoint of where both parents stand on the issues of, like, just up, you know, being able to, you know, raise a child, stability, education, safety, all these things that, you know, you'd think in a logical system would just stand out strong, do not, because it seems even after 4.5 years, $55,000 in legal bills, not a single piece of evidence I've submitted in an affidavit form has been tested to this day, because the court... Essentially, what it does is you file affidavits and it really becomes a he says, she says situation, because at no point does the court actually test the evidence, because by the time the court gets around to giving you a situation to test the evidence is considered historical because of the, well, basically the slow nature of the court. So it's kind of like a rotating door. You file affidavits and you've got all the evidence there. By the time you get to the court, it just becomes very much just a character assassination, or, you know, more gotcha tactics than actually any testing of the evidence. And so I've presented, you know, I've tried to go with transparency. So I've presented all text conversations, all conversations, you know, all records that one's able to get, let it be medical, all the rest. But as stated, it's never been allowed to be tested, and basically they just say come back in 9 months and file again. So it's been a long journey. To give you an idea of when I'm referring to stability and why I can't understand why it's just not taken from a more logical point of view, is in Anika's lifetime, I had lived in one abode, one place with her. I'd been there for 7-8 years. The mum, on the other hand, had moved, since, you know, Anika was born to this present day, she's moved 21 times. I've had no run-ins, no criminal record or no run-ins with the law, apart from, like, you know, years and years ago when I was a teenager and I was a political activist, and I never got a criminal record for it. She's had multitude of run-ins with the law, as has many of her partners that she's chosen to be with at any given time. She's had numerous SIFs call-outs, as I've had none that have actually, you know, I've had her call SIFs on me and do things like that, but none of them have actually, once tested, they never showed any validity. Just too many things to think of. So last year, back in January, this was meant to be our big hearing day. We'd been waiting 3.5 years for this. And basically, a day or two before the hearing, my house was arsoned, the one I'd had for 7 years. And the judge saw it on TV. And even before the proceedings, you know, this 5-day hearing that we'd been just waiting for forever and ever to happen, before we even got in there, he had basically made up his mind from what he'd seen of me on television, taking, you know, this is a guy who's just jumped through a burning building off his roof, you know. And it basically, you know, the 5-day hearing got cut down to a 1-day hearing where, you know, I was put on the stand because I was the one who filed the affidavit, so therefore I'm the first to go. You know, I'm still in a state of shock. I'm just, you know, in no good place to, you know, be in the situation. And they basically just threw it out there and then and gave her once again primary custodian rights and basically put me down to a weekend dad role. But the reality since then has been not at all there. I mean, I've been looking after her the majority of the time. But what happened between then and now, you know, the mum got the school. And since then, you know, this is just an example of credibility. So she gets her in school and her attendance is just appalling. The school doesn't notify me of this because they don't recognize me as a custodian parent. And so for whole 3 terms, and Anika's schooling was, you know, she missed 1 in 3 days. And the mum then moved a number of more times. And on top of that, during all this, she's dealing with this partner who has a record of violence, who I don't even want to say what level of violence, because it's quite appalling when you look. He's not meant to be around young children, basically. it's insane. Like, you know, I come from a educated background. Both my parents have their doctorates. You know, we have a sense of morality and this belief that the system is going to do what's best for the child. But we have just seen, you know, my mum's been very supportive throughout this whole process. We've just seen situations where it couldn't be any more black and white in regards to, you know, the parent's position and what would be best for the child. But I can't catch a break with it, no matter how much she screws up, you know, if it's, you know, no matter how much she moves, no matter who she lives with, you know, the amount of violent incidences that seem to happen at her place and you know, I mean, just to categorize it, you know, this, you know, She managed to get $50,000 worth of debts because of a parked car. So, you know, if you want to bring financial into it as well, it's just, you know, but she refuses to, even when I, like this year in particular, you know, she fell to pieces last year and I ended up enrolling Anika into Freeman's Bay this year because she basically just couldn't do it. Ended up having her the majority of the time. But she refuses to recognize or give me the recognition for, you know, for just, you know, basically, you know, having her. Like I hate to use the word welfare mum, but it's basically what she's got going on. She just doesn't want to, you know, I don't know. Please butt in here because I could just go on and on. It's, yeah.
Well, I think that was kind of the point. Because I've been studying and looking into this and interviewed a number of people in the same position. They all say the exact same thing. None of the evidence that I have would be good. It doesn't matter how bad the mum is. The mum always gets the child. And that's the way the system's set up. They don't tell you that going in. By the way, it doesn't matter what evidence you put in. The mum's still the mum and she rules. Okay, so, you know, what that does is a lot of real smart fathers cotton onto that really quickly on and they get really upset about it and really depressed about it and then they stop trying to get their kids back because they know that it's basically not possible.
Mm. Well, I mean, in my case, I cottoned on pretty quickly that was the case, but I just thought, you know, the mountains of evidence I would gather would just eventually have to, you know, work in my favor. I mean, like, just, you know, I more than anyone understands that the system has some really corrosive, archaic issues with it, you know? I'm well educated in that reality, but when you're dealing with your own flesh and blood, you just have to hope like hell that something is going to budge. You know, it's bad enough when the court, you know, you think, okay, well, the courts are archaic, but, you know, serfs, that's a body that, you know, should know better. I mean, you'd just think after seven different incidences of the public, you know, not myself, the public referring to this, you know, I don't want to sound derogative, I'm referring to the mum and any partner she's had at the time, you'd think that would clarify the matter. I mean, the best thing I really realized now that I could have done is just have let her collapse a long time ago, because it's like this, you know, I've been picking up the pieces when she isn't able to do it, but at the same time, she's chopping my legs beneath me. So, you know, I'm raising Anika, I'm looking after her the majority of the time, but at the same time, she's cutting me loose, not allowing me to have any kind of say or even any, you know, in times when it was well justified, you know, subsidies or whatever, because half of this process I was studying, you know, throughout this whole entire thing, you know, I'm studying full-time trying to improve my own education, while basically looking after my daughter full time, while the mum just sits there on her lovely $600 a week, you know, just it's you know, from a I refuse to acknowledge that, you know, that justice can be that fucking bullshit, man, to be honest. Like, it's just on so many levels. And The just the things I've heard when I've gone into trial and these amazing biases that are just bred in. Like, the snapping point for me was only a few weeks ago, and that's why I came to you and told you of this, is that, like, I was so confident this was, you know, guaranteed to go in Anika's and my favor, is because I just had this, you know, phenomenal body of evidence showing poor attendance, where when she had been my care this year, you know, for the first term of this year, attendance had been spotless, like no mistakes whatsoever, no sick days, no nothing. But in, you know, last year it was, as I said, it was appalling. It was close to 30-something%. And I just, you know, I walked in there with this, and I walked in with evidence of the homework book, which is another thing we had. So, you know, I do homework with Anika every night, and, you know, we sign the book and it goes to the teacher the next day. You know, I walked in, you know, with the settlement meeting, presented this to the judge, and the judge just, you know, the mum just started ranting about how she does homework with her, and the judge just goes, oh, don't worry about it, dear. You know, no, I don't sign the book with my kid either. It's just this, you know, and then when I'd present, you know, she was trying to say that she was, the reason she missed so much school last year at her school was because of bullying. And so I presented emails from all the teachers and the school saying there was no bullying of any sorts whatsoever. And the judge, once again, is just like, oh, you know what? Schools don't really like talking about that. So they probably just, you know, they're probably just choosing. So no matter, it's not about factual evidence. I could present emails. I can present, you know, day-to-day activity. I mean, you know, Chloe says that she doesn't even have me on these days. Aniki on these days. But at the same time, you know, I've long since had CCTV out our main foyer. So I say to the judge, look, if you want, I can literally show you the last 6 months of footage of, you know, people entering and leaving my house. And, you know, once again, it's just irrelevant. I mean, even with everything being there, like, you can't, you know, you know, basically when I say that, they just go, oh, you're just paranoid, Ben. So, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you gather the evidence, they just blatantly reject it. And so now what's happening is they're saying, look, we'll have another trial in September, October. But by the time it gets to September, October, all the evidence I've presented that I've been just wanting to be tested will now be considered as historical evidence. It will be not even looked at. So my original proceedings when I filed again back in May of this year, by the time it gets to September, they're just going to say, well, how's it been for the last few months? And obviously, you know, at that point, Chloe will just clean up her act and, you know, get her family to, you know, pull it together. And it'll just, you know, she'll then get primordial and custodianship again. And what will happen is she'll just fall back.
She doesn't have any requirements on her or anything. She could be, she could basically, as far as what you're telling me, she could walk into the courtroom with a heroin needle out of her arm and just go, am I a good mother yet? And they'll say, yep, no problem. Take the kid home.
Yeah, as long as you clean up in the next few months, you're fine. That's basically what they say. And they don't base it on any, you know, I mean, I think history is the best indication of what's going to happen in the future. I mean, this is, you know, a scientific way of looking at things is that we determine, you know, it's just statistical analysis, man. I mean, I think they should just get Watson, you know, that Jeopardy supercomputer to just go through this shit and work it out. They should do it with an analytical point of view. I mean, this is, you know, obviously my background being in, you know, game development and all the rest of it and all things media and all things technology, you know, this is the way I look at the world. I don't see how that's a bad thing. I mean, you know, what these trials, they end up being is basically character assassinations. Like, you know, they don't, yeah. I mean, it's not due to lack of funding, because I'll tell you this, the lawyers are getting a f***ing load of money out of this. But the rest of it just seems to be, I don't know if it's a lack of funding or what, but the funding is disproportional. You know, the lawyers are getting a hell of a lot more while the family court itself is getting very little and even getting chopped back even more now under the national government, which makes things even worse because now they're trying to abolish lawyer for child and all this other stuff. And it's just crazy. Like, the system's broken and now they're breaking it even more, basically.
Well, here's the thing. The system's broken for people who are honest, who would expect to, you know, that it'd actually be some kind of court. The problem is it's not a kind of court at all. And right. I don't think people get that. I mean, how is the family court different to regular court? Number one, media aren't allowed to report on anything that happens inside the family court.
Exactly. Family court is, if it was treated like a criminal court, it would be way, way better. This is the thing. It's not. This idea of evidence is absurd. It's just not the case. Like, I always, you know, because some of the evidence I had, I wasn't even allowed to submit. Like, crazy evidence. You know, I'm a bit uncomfortable talking about what I do have, or, you know, for sheer retribution, if you know what I'm saying. And that does worry me a little. So some of it I've kept very close to my belt. But just rest assured, some of the stuff I've got her saying, and, you know, with parties that she's with, should have been hands down considered, because it was, anyone would just go, how could you do that, or how could you put her in that environment?
Well, you may as well, you know, may as well tell us, mate, because the court's not going to listen to it anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about the court listening to it, if you know what I'm saying. Just rest assured, she was putting Aniki in positions where I think anyone would just say, yeah, that's absurd, and you're fighting for custody, yet you're putting her in that environment, and let's just say, you know, let's just say drug dealers and the rest of it, and pills and just utter debauchery. And, you know, man, I mean, look, I was young once. I had a lot of fun. But I'll tell you what, man, when I was there, you know, for the birth, you know, when I was there, you know, when I became a dad, you know, I just focused purely on strengthening my lifestyle and my ability to raise my daughter. You know, my life was a lot of partying and a lot of fun in my, you know, early 20s. That was, you know, I was 24, man. I'm 32 now. And, you know, I've improved above and beyond, but she just hasn't. And she, you know, during the whole entire process, you know, she continued, you know, there were stages when she continued to work as a prostitute and all these other things. I mean, look, I've got nothing against prostitution, but I do have something against prostitution when you're fighting for custody of your daughter and you're choosing to work as a prostitute but not choosing to actually see her at all during this time. Like, it was crazy. Like, she was...
Like, what's she going to do, have a take your kid to work day?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, like, literally, she was dragging me through the custody battle while refusing to see her daughter because she was too busy getting f***ed up, sleeping till 4 in the afternoon, working all night, and going on massive, you know, booze binges. And yet, you know, me and my friends would have to try, you know, spend weeks just trying to find her to say, look, are you going to have Anika or not? And once again, I had all this on tape. I had all the phone conversations. I had all this. And I said, look, you know, can I please present this? I had every single one of her ex-flatmates offer to write me an affidavit, you know, to describe what they saw when she was raising her, when she was raising Anika, when she had Anika with her. And the system just said, nope, it's too much evidence. We just can't go through all that. So... there's been multitude of opportunities where I've had just nothing but the most condemning evidence, you know, literally, you know, public opinion amongst our peers, you know, everything, character, you know, witness, whatever you call them, people, you know, praising.
Character references.
Character references, thank you, yeah. And it was just, you know, they just refused to see it because basically what that means is it's an open and closed case, and they don't want an open and closed case. They want something that drags out for as long as possible, you know.
If I might say so.
Yeah.
Here's the agenda. They go, okay, it's going to cost this guy a hell of a lot of money for lawyers and stuff to come in. We got this lawyer over here that's prosecuting and the judge and everything. They're all getting paid at the same time.
Yeah.
And here's this guy presenting evidence that would stop this gravy train to a halt. He could actually prove one side or the other. Yeah, so how do we continue making our gravy train while there's all this evidence? I know! Ignore it!
Pretty much, man. That's it in a nutshell. Like,
you can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen.
No, you can't. Sorry, am I getting too ranty?
It is the Vinnie Eastwood show. I mean, if you were ranty, this is the place to do it. You know?
I know, man. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what to do now. I mean, like, I could wait till September and they're just going to tell me exactly the same thing. And then I'm just going to have to reapply again. And I, you know, it's 4.5 years, man. This is actually killing me. Like, you know, forget, you know, just trying to have a normal life and financial and everything else, because you can't, it holds your life on so many levels, because literally I can't go to, you know, for employment's sake, for example, I can't go to a boss and say, look, I can work from this time to this time if I can't, because literally at the drop of a hat, she might just drop her off for an indefinite period of time. And, you know, there you go, you got to kind of reshuffle your life. I mean, it's constantly the not knowing of how you're meant to function, you know, by day to day is the biggest stress aspect of it. You know,
it sounds very similar to how Dr. Green described me what happened to him when he's got all these court appearances and things like that holding over his head. Mm. And what happens to other people who have that kind of thing is that, again, your life gets put on hold, and basically it turns you into a free range prisoner.
Yeah, well, that's how it feels, man, because I'm stuck in Auckland. I can't commit to anything because I never know what's going to happen. I mean, I imagine her life's a lot more relaxed because she generally knows she can pretty much do whatever, and it's very unlikely it's going to fall bad on her, no matter what. And so the difference between me and her is that one of us actually have ambition, and one of us actually, you know, really, you know, I mean, the number of things, you know, I remember just affidavit after affidavit where she's stating that she's getting this job, or she's doing the study, or any of these things. You know, if any of this was just to be tested, if it was just literally not a drop has been tested, you know, any of these bold statements she's made about improving her life or her child, they all fall flat. I mean, dude, you know, a year ago she assured us she wasn't going to be living with this guy because he'd been convicted of sex offending, you know? Like, now she's living with him. Like, this is the insanity of it. I mean, like, you'd think that in itself, you know, would be a closing, you know, aspect of the case, right? Like, the fact that she's living with a convicted sex offender. But no. You'd think the fact that he's now got current charges on him for an act of violence pending. You know, they won't declare what the charges are. They just refer to it as common assault, whatever the f*** that means. You know, can you imagine what that does to a father? You know, just, she's, you know, her choice of guys is not great. And I mean, that, you know, in some respect, that goes for me too. I wasn't the best guy when I met her. But, you know, unlike a lot of these other guys she seems to be, you know, palling around with now, that, you know, the difference is that one of us has moved up and on, you know, like... It's
and one's still stuck, and of course the court system isn't designed to keep you unstuck. Simon, I again apologize that this has happened to you. It wasn't my fault, but yeah, man, it happens. Yeah, it happens to many fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on the vinnieeastwoodshow.com, and check out our sponsors there. The High Tea Cafe in New Lynn, and also some of the book sponsors that we have on the website as well. The Crowdfunding Revolution by Kevin Lawton, and the Range of Illusion by B. Holmes. We'll be right back.